Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Extracting as much of that possible money out of as many people as possible. And increasingly, many sports, live events, games, and matches are out of reach for many millions of Americans. They go back to Iyer, who runs Nashville FC. Football clubs in the UK and in other parts of Europe, to some degree, are sort of like community assets, to the larger point that you're making. Liverpool, like Barcelona and Bayern Munich and most of the prominent football clubs, were founded over a century ago as genuine clubs with paying members. They were not, and for the mostly are not, franchises owned by billionaires. For decades, in some cases still today, they were run by the members or presidents elected by the members who doubled as fans and were not eager to charge themselves exorbitant ticket prices. So while obviously doesn't apply to Liverpool, I always think the best example of it is look at Real Madrid. Real Madrid always just elects a president. And even if that president is like the richest man in Spain, the guy that was the big like Galacticos guy.
Yeah.
Even if it's him, he still doesn't own the franchise.
No. I mean, I feel like that's a very Spanish thing as well. Or maybe not, maybe more continental Europe as opposed to like the UK, because now, like we've just mentioned, we're seeing a lot of those, you know, Premier League teams getting bought up by, you know, individual investors or investment groups, or
public investment funds.
Well, yeah. Whereas it feels like with like Bayern Munich, they're always going through elections. I think Germany, like the actual German law, has like a rule about ownership.
Well, there's also
their teams.
There's also a legal aspect of this. You know what else is also really non-existent here that is existent over there?
Like department scout.
Secondary market limitation.
Yes, that's also kind of where I was. As I was reading this, I'm thinking, man, Ticketmaster would do awesome over there.
As a result, on the business side, soccer's biggest clubs make less than 20% of their revenue from ticket sales and other matchday revenue streams, whereas most U.S. teams generate more than 30% of their income from their sources, according to Sportico. The main exception is that NFL, which benefits from colossal national television rights broadcasts. So, I think this is kind of the other issue at play. How much, like, I understand it's a business. I also understand that these people can get very short-sighted. Like, a movie that a lot of us are going to watch here in the next 24 hours, it always just reminds me of the scene in Christmas Vacation after Eddie steals Clark's boss. And his wife is thinking that, like, oh, her husband's been kidnapped, and he's trying to explain to her what happened. He's like, remember that idea that I was kicking around? And she just looked at him, oh, you didn't cut the Christmas bonuses, did you? Like, of all the ways to save a nickel. And I'm also not going to live in a world where I ignore the business side of it. What I am more curious about is this actually maximizing revenue? Because what I'm starting to see at an increasingly higher rate is You may think you have these tickets priced correctly, but
then why are the stands half empty?
Correct. And I guess to a certain degree, if you don't necessarily care about getting the parking and the revenue from food and whatnot, like you just want the ticket revenue, it doesn't really matter to you. Where I start to care, though, is you're going to start using that against us when it's like, why am I mad that I can't sell my house when I have it
priced way above
the market?
Right.
Whose fault is that?
The market, obviously.
Correct.
It's not my fault.
How dare they? Right.
For not spending $100 a seat to go sit in the nosebleeds.
Correct. Now, where I think it starts to get more interesting, let's localize it at the college level.
Right.
Because college is now dealing with it in a much more multifaceted direction because, number one, you're still trying to hold the illusion that this is not professional sports. Number two, you are now trying to maximize every possible revenue stream so that you can, we think that there's a direct correlation of the more money you have, the better your teams are. And who is going to be like, who's going to be the first school that goes, you know what? Maybe we left a little bit of donations on the table. Maybe we left a little bit of revenue on the table. But the building was packed. We got more game day revenue than we expected. Do you have to share that with the players? Like that, then you start to run into other issues. But then I think you also run into this big issue. What if, how much money would the University of Memphis and their basketball program have if basketball and football didn't have to fund every other sport? And I'm not sitting here trying to say we got to cut these sports.
Right.
But what I do think is going to have to happen, and I know it's going to be complicated, and I know this sounds like the guy that's got all the answers. I'm not trying to come across like that. I look at the circumstances and you think, okay, where is this headed? Eventually what this has to be is you are going to have to basically have a two-model system for college sports. And the two models are either going to be revenue sharing or scholarship. And what I mean by that is if, let's for instance say you are on the men's tennis team. You're not going to opt into revenue sharing. You know why? Your sport's not making revenue. So you at that point will be loss sharing.
Right.
You'll be paying to play. And so it seems to me like they're going to have to separate the sports that make money from the sports that don't make money. And for the ones that don't make money, you're going to have to probably go the scholarship route. The other one's going to be the revenue sharing route. Because they've tried the courts, that didn't work. They tried Congress and laws, that didn't work. You're now going to have to just face reality. Like, this is going to have to be collectively bargained. You're going to have to organize it in that fashion. And to me, it's like, you're going to also have to treat each sport independently. And of course, that is going to bring up the risk of, essentially, all we're going to have is college football, college basketball, maybe about 30 teams of women's college basketball.
Handful of baseball teams.
Maybe. Is there going to be the revenue to generate if there's not the number of teams playing?
Probably not, but college baseball at least has a little bit of a TV deal.
I think the conferences do.
And is it just a lump sum?
Right.
I mean, if that's the reality of it, and if that's just what it ends up being, like, it's kind of a shame, honestly.
Well, it's kind of the the system for too long hid behind a facade that wasn't true, but now it has become a situation where now it's a business issue. You know, like when once upon a time, yeah, football's funding everything, but it's not funding everything at the level that it's about 80 to 90% versus everything else. Now, football also costs a ton.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking revenue. We're not necessarily talking profit because football costs a ton to play. But, I mean, this is where I am curious to see if there's a ticket pricing bubble and everybody's going to start to address it. Because in the end, everyone griped and complained about the price of World Cup tickets, and they basically made $20 million in 24 hours. So, probably not.
Probably not.
But it is going to concentrate in people flooding. This will be what will be fascinating to watch about the whole Vegas of it all. What happens if the A's don't make a ton of money? Because everyone keeps thinking of Vegas, like corporate money. You're going to have all these, you're going to sell all the tickets to the casinos. You're going to give them out as comps. And like what you're just going to have this built-in revenue stream.
But like, what if they don't?
It's not a huge city.
Not a huge city. Not a crazy large population.
These teams don't have history there.
Right. And it's not like it's an expansion franchise. Like, with the Aces, with the Golden Knights, they're able to say, hey, look, we are starting our franchise here. We're starting our history here. There's a built-in level of, you know, community in that.
Well, and then on top
of the A's have been in Oakland for 100 years now.
I mean, and we look at it with the Raiders, like, it appears to me one of the biggest reasons the Raiders, I mean, their attendance is pretty good, but what essentially happens is the road teams just
pack it out.
And they treat it as like a vacation.
Yeah.
Like that's a huge part of it.
Build that into their Vegas trip.
All right, we haven't gotten to the Grizzlies yet. Let's do that next. We'll talk about them on the list. Grizzlies win last night in Utah. We'll discuss further next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called The List. George, fired up. Santi Claus. Santi Aldama made 7 three-pointers and scored a career-high 37 points to lead the Memphis Grizzlies to a 137-128 victory over the Utah Jazz on Tuesday night. Jaren Jackson Jr. chipped in 21 points. G.G. Jackson the second had 18 points, and Jock Landale added 17. Cam Spencer also dished out a career-high 13 assists to go with 11 points, while Aldama added a season-high 7 assists to help the Grizzlies snap a 2-game losing streak. The Grizzlies shot 56% from the field, and they made 19 three-pointers. The Grizzlies never trailed during the first half after shooting 54% from the field and built a 15-point lead late into the second quarter while scoring baskets on 6 consecutive possessions. Landale and Jalen Wells each made back-to-back baskets to cap the run and put the Grizzlies up 65-60. However, the Jazz did rally to make it a one-possession game in the final minutes before halftime as Keontae George fueled a 17-4 run with 3 baskets. And the run was punctuated by a big dunk that cut the lead to 69-67. The Jazz did take a lead 93 seconds into the third quarter, but the Grizzlies, however, pulled away in the third quarter, and they wind up with the 9-point win. So now it puts the Grizzlies at 14-16. They're comfortably in ninth place in the standings. And George, I had this kind of thought last night. I think Utah's one of the annoying bad teams to play. And this would be my argument. They're not going to get a lot of stops, but their offense is good enough that you just have to keep scoring.
Oh, yeah, they can fill it up.
And they're young, and I know Will Hardy has been like struggling to get them to play hard, but they're now starting to play much harder, and they're playing much more consistently. But this is one of those games where I know we're talking about, and I'm not trying to sell a Utah Jazz win as like move over Thunder and Spurs, like here we come. I just thought it was a good, solid win, given the fact that now, when you consider who's on the floor, and of course, the other bummer of the night is Cedric Coward. We'll discuss that in just a moment. But I think that's two consecutive games, and I know the final score was what it was against the Thunder, but watching the game, I still felt like they were in it, and they played well, and the Thunder are just better.
They were in it that like throughout the entire first half. It really started to deteriorate kind of in that third quarter against the Thunder, but that's kind of just what they do. They're able to amp up that defensive intensity kind of at will. Oh, and also SGA.
Yeah, I mean, there's when he decides to take over a game, the Grizzlies right now don't have
a guy who can really counter that.
Correct.
But this Jazz team, like, they're fun. Like, they play a fun brand of basketball right now. Even, you know, if they aren't winning, it's a young team. There are guys on this team that you could see them being able to build around, namely Keontae George and Ace Bailey. I mean, at this point, is Keontae George the most improved player for the season? Went from 16-8 points a game this year. He's averaging 23 points.
You'd have to remind me who else would even be under consideration, because it does feel like, it feels to me like he has taken a leap.
How much of that, though, is usage? Actually, it's not even that much. I'm looking at his minutes distribution from like last year to this year. It's only about not even three more minutes a game.
Yeah, I think he has to be the answer, although it feels like I can never track like how they end up giving. It feels like half the time they just give most improved to somebody that they're going to leave off one of the major awards, and it's not actually like what it is.
I mean, that sounds exactly like where they would put a 22-year-old who is in his third year.
Yeah.
Who plays for Utah.
But, I mean, he's an electric scorer.
He's so much fun to watch.
Like he did actually miss a free throw last night. That was nice. That was very kind of him. I don't know. Like, I just kind of, as we sit here the day before Christmas, Grizzlies are 14-16. And I think if you would have listed out all the injuries that they would have gone through, and you would have offered up 14-16, I think I would have signed up for that in blood.
If you recall, when we first heard about the injury, or not even just the injury, excuse me, the surgery and all that, for Zach Edey and Jaren Jackson and all of this going into, you know, the offseason, what was the date that you and I had said, hey, if we can get him back and see what he looks like on the floor by mid-December?
No, I mean, I remember thinking, when they just read out the...
We weren't sure we were going to get him until January.
I was like, that sounds like New Year's to me.
Right. And at this... excuse me. At this point in the season, we've been able to see what this team realistically could or should end up being at some point once the team is healthy.
Well, I do think like that is a larger question, which is how much of the Grizzlies' defensive deficiencies is solely related to the fact of personnel?
I mean, I think a lot of it is personnel. I mean, they don't really have someone defensively who can... Jaren is at his best when he's able to roam defensively.
Yes.
And make plays on the ball. They currently do not have another player with the defensive gravity to allow him to do that. He's having to face guys up, and that's not when he's at his best. Even when, we have good defensive guys on the perimeter. I think Jalen Wells' defense has been fine. KCP defensively has gotten better since he's moved into that bench role. But like Cam Spencer, that's an effort defender. Omax, that's an effort defender. Like defender, excuse me. They don't have these guys that are actually good defenders apart from Zach Edey and Jaren.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with Wells because Wells...
He's also drawing
the hardest assignment every night. That's what I was going to say. That's why I don't exactly... I don't know how to categorize him. All right, let's go through. Would this guy be a plus defender? All right, Gigi, no.
No.
Santi, no.
Definitely not.
Jalen, maybe.
I'm going to say yes, but I think that's also a yes with an asterisk. The asterisk being, does he always have to just pick up the toughest assignment every single night?
I've always just felt like with Jalen, and obviously he's young and there's still time.
They just threw him into that, by the way, last year. Like, I don't feel like we talk about that enough.
I feel like if Jalen's like your seventh guy, that is an elite seventh man.
Oh, yeah.
But if he has to be your starting two or three, I think that's tough.
It is. Like, I'm glad he's gotten his shooting stroke back. I mean, it was very tough to start the season. I mean, even if he is a sixth or seventh guy, I mean, I do think he's a plus defender, though.
No, that's kind of the other thing that I was thinking about. Also, with Cam Spencer, like, for instance, maybe this is an exercise in futility, but if the Grizzlies get, at some point, Ja, Scotty, and Ty Jerome all back, it's one of these situations right now where Cam, given what they have, you can look past the defensive deficiencies because what he has been giving you on the offensive end. If you had other options, like, has he bust down the door and said, no matter what, even when these guys come back, like, I have to keep playing? Because I do think, like, that's an interesting question.
And, like, that's a tough question because on one hand, we look at the way that Cam Spencer has played this season, and like I heard Gabe talking about this yesterday, he is prime for us to look at the way that he's played and say he has to regress to the mean at some point. Who's to say that his mean isn't just a 40 to 45% three-point shooter? And if that's the case, I don't see how you can realistically keep him off the floor when at times you seem to struggle in the half court.
Yeah, but now you are in Luke Kennard zone. Now, I
Luke Kennard with volume.
I would say, though, the key difference to me, though, between Cam and Luke is, A, well, I mean, Luke was bigger and longer.
True.
But for me, Cam can get his shot off a lot. Like, I think he has the ability. Like, with Luke, it was like he needed somebody to set him up.
Right.
He struggled to create his own shot. I don't feel like Cam struggles to create his own shot as much.
I agree. And for what it's worth as well, the Luke Kennard that we're talking about for the Grizzlies, he's kind of in the middle or the later part of his career.
Yeah.
Those numbers do matter for him, to him. This is Cam's second year. He's just going to let that thing rip.
No, I definitely think that's a different aspect, but
I'm thinking because of the complaints and the way that we looked at the way that Kennard played those last, realistically, two seasons with the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean, because I was very much in the camp of the Lakers series in 23.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were at the point where they just had to go with the offense lineup. Like,
yes.
But now, you know, I don't know. Because, like, that's the other question. It's like, what does Ty Jerome look like when he returns? What does Scotty look like when he returns? Like, they're both coming off of significant layoffs.
Right.
No preseason camp. I mean, I guess they did play whatever. They had camp.
They were present.
But, like, also, like, physically, how are they?
Right.
Because,
and at the very least, with Scotty, I feel like that fills a different role for you as opposed to a Ty Jerome or a Cam Spencer, where towards the end of last year, there were games where you really relied on Scotty to run the offense kind of as a whole. And I don't think that's the type of production that you're realistically going to get night in, night out of Cam or Ty.
Yeah, and I mean, this is, again, maybe this is an exercise in futility, because who says that the Grizzlies are going to have all four guys healthy at the same time? I have no clue. I would much rather be exploring that discussion of too many guys to play than what we have right now. Also, is Javon Small, do we need to call him split-second Ja? Because I was thinking of him, I said this to Justin this morning, the same way the first time you ever saw a Chrysler M300, you're like, ooh, that's a Bentley. No.
Oh.
The fact that he has, like, the hair exactly like Ja does, and it's, like, his number's a 1 and a 0, like, if it's far enough away, you're like, Ja's playing! No, it's not Ja.
Yeah.
And physically, like, they look similarly.
They have a similar frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he might be Chrysler M300 Ja Morant.
Ja light.
Oh.
Very light.
I wouldn't even say Kirkland signature.
Hey,
just,
now.
Just Kirkland brand.
Kirkland signature.
No, no, no. No, no,
that's
I
good
have
stuff.
But my point is, like,
we're talking the step below.
Correct.
Yeah.
The real generic. Like, the signature is the finer quality. Correct.
Yeah, that's the one with the pinky up.
Yeah.
Now, as we were going through this a little bit, looking at some of these guys potentially being plus defenders, the one guy that didn't play last night that I think very well could be at some point in his career is said.
Yeah. So now let's get to it. All right. So we get the news. Heel soreness, I think is how it was.
No, that's what they
relayed.
Said, but. Ugh.
Okay. So on the one hand,
I don't like the sound of that.
It's tough to sit there and like have extreme optimism when Grizzlies injuries start piling up. On the other, he has played a ton as a rookie, a guy that I believe played 11 games last year.
Was it even that?
It may not have even been 11. So he's obviously never played the volume of games and played at the NBA level. So I am going to hope to God this is nothing more than...
He needed a breather.
We can't just... Like, we do have to kind of throttle down a little bit. But it's also tough to just ignore the Grizzly injury aspect of it.
True. Well, I'm trying to see. That's
because what we won't get. I don't think we'll get another. Do we get an injury report on Christmas Day?
He played 6 games last year.
So 6 games last year.
He's going from 6 games last year in college to where what has he only missed 1 game prior to this?
That sounds correct.
That's a lot of extra. That's a lot more basketball.
And he has been playing high usage.
29 games played so far this year.
So I am holding out hope that this is just...
We also, I assume we're going to get a Grizz PR tweet tomorrow.
Like, that's the thing. Are they working? But I guess they have to... Do they have to send out...
Do they have to...
Because they obviously play Friday night.
Oh, I'm aware. I also will be working Friday night.
Because, let's see, I think
what's the time frame? Because don't they have to put it out a certain amount of time prior to tip?
I would imagine they're probably just going to have to, whether or not it's Christmas Day or not, somebody's going to have to fire off. Because they have...
Yeah, left heel soreness is what it was reported as yesterday.
They have the Bucks on Friday.
Yep.
Then they go to D.C. for a revenge game on Sunday. Come back to host the Sixers on Tuesday before heading out to California for a Lakers series on the 2nd and the 4th.
That's weird how that ended up working out. You don't usually have a back-to-back, like, day apart, but also against the same team.
Well, and also, I don't think that was an add-on game.
No, that was just the slate.
Yeah, because we only had the one, obviously, Lakers game scheduled. All right, let's go with James Nnaji. Former Detroit Pistons second-round pick James Nnaji has enrolled at Baylor and is immediately eligible to play for the Bears men's basketball team, Jonathan Givony reports.
This is insane, by the way.
A significant development and unprecedented path to college basketball. Nanji, 21 years old, went 31st overall in the 2023 draft with his rights going to the Charlotte Hornets as part of a trade. His rights were then traded to the New York Knicks in 2024. However, Nanji never signed an NBA contract and instead has been playing in Europe, most recently with Yucatel Merkezefendi in Turkey on loan from Spain's FC Barcelona. He averaged 7.5 points and 4 rebounds for Yucatel. Nanji in Barcelona, the team he had been with since 2020, mutually agreed to part ways after last season. Most recently, he played with the Knicks in the 2025 Summer League. He was listed at 6'11", 226 pounds when he was drafted as an 18-year-old, and Givony lists him as 7 feet, 251 pounds with a 7'7 wingspan. Okay, so
does this just not take everything that we've already kind of had to go through with this change and just flip it even more?
I guess, though, on the one hand, here's where I kind of struggle with it. We don't care in baseball if you've been drafted, or in hockey if you've been drafted. Now, with hockey, it's a little different. They keep your rights while you go play college.
Right.
I'm having a tough time with the you were a pro that entered the draft and now you just want to go play college. I guess this is like this to me is just another signal of like you have to acknowledge that you are professional basketball.
It isn't even just that. For a lot of these guys that are coming over from Europe, they have actively played professional basketball. They're professional players over there. It isn't like those are just like farm teams or anything like that, or the equivalent of college ball. He was a professional. Like for this one, but like this specific case, the young man got drafted, for God's sake.
I mean, this is like, but this is what happens. Like, they've been scared to rule on anything. But, like, this is also what drives me insane. It's like, I guess simply because his clock has not started, it's like, why are we allowing these guys to play when we're sitting there going, like, Dane Danger wants an extra year? There's a murky year with injuries and leaving. Like, how is this?
How does this guy have
more of a right to play than that guy does? I guess because you're preserving the integrity of the clock.
Which, I mean, to your point, because we've talked about this, and this is one of the few things that the NCAA has actually been able to kind of win at, is the clock. That is one of the few things they've really been able to still hold a level of, I guess, power over. Is that eligibility clock. I think it is also important to note with Nanji, he was an international player before. It's not like he went through a year or two of college, got drafted.
Right.
He was international before that. I think he's from Nigeria.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right. I don't know, man. This just feels like we're really, like, lost the plot.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a fan of this.
I'm not a fan at all. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more NFL. We got, of course, massive week for a lot of you out there in fantasy football land. Let's talk about some of the big questions. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. and fees apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, the NFL, of course, very quietly in one swift move, took over Christmas Day last year. Tomorrow's going to test us, y'all. Really going to test us. Because they announced matchups. I'm not saying this is through the fault of the league. The announced matchups were interesting.
Yeah, these...
But let's go through the reality of what we've got tomorrow.
These should have been good games.
Starting at noon on Netflix, the Cowboys go to Landover, Maryland to take on the Commanders. And y'all, he's back, baby. Now, this does break up my rule. I wanted Josh Johnson at some point to play for all 32 teams. He's already played for the Commies. I think the last time he played, it was the Washington football team. So I don't think he's played for the franchise, but right. I don't know if he's ever been a Commander. So we get Dak Prescott versus Josh Johnson. Then at 3:30, Detroit goes to Minnesota. Minnesota will be starting Max Brosmer. And also,
do we recall how well that went the last couple weeks?
I believe also the other issue. Now, maybe the perfect antidote is whatever the Lions defense is right now.
It's bad, but like Brosmer's been horrid.
Well, the Seahawks got him.
Seahawks have gotten pretty much everyone this year.
Except Stafford, when I put him on the bench, Galaxy Brain. That one's going to be brutal. And then our nightcap on to wrap up the Amazon Prime Thursday night slate, the Broncos go to Kansas City. Kansas City, of course, had Gardner Minshew as their backup. Gardner tears his ACL, and it appears, I think we're getting some Chris Oladokun.
I believe that's
to cap
correct.
Off our Christmas night.
That sounds correct.
Did they all, they sign, was it Buchel? Who else did they sign?
No, it was Shane.
It was Shane Buchel.
Yep.
Okay.
Why do I remember him being like, wasn't he really good at SMU that last season? I don't know why that like just stuck in my head.
He was solid. I just always remember him at Texas. They would run quarterback power at any and every given time, which to me was always like the sign of respect of like, I don't really care if this guy gets hurt.
Oh, I completely whiffed on this. You want to hear some of the other guys the Chiefs are going to be without?
Okay.
From Adam Schefter, this was an hour ago. Chiefs now have placed wide receiver Rashee Rice, Tyquan Thornton, and corners Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson on season-ending injured reserve.
Also, I believe in that Commanders game, Josh Johnson's playing without Tunsil. All right, so then
we might be in for some horrible football.
Oh, this could be this could
all-time
be,
stinky.
This has preseason vibes. All right, so let's go to Saturday, and then on Saturday we have Texans Chargers.
Okay. And I'm mad at that.
Baltimore Green Bay. So Detroit, I believe, gets eliminated as soon as Green Bay wins one more game. I think the Lions' path is they have to win tomorrow, and then they have to beat the Bears week 18, and the Packers have to lose to Baltimore. That game's at home. That's at Lambeau. And then they wrap up with the Vikings, I believe. Yeah. So they, because everybody wraps up with a divisional game.
Yep.
Man, that is.
That's tough.
That's kind of gross. All right. And then on Sunday, what do we actually have to look forward to? All right. So Sunday.
Maybe Jacksonville and Indy.
Arizona at Cincy. Gross.
Nope.
Pittsburgh at Cleveland.
No, thank you.
The battle of the frisky teams with young quarterbacks that maybe are turning a corner. New Orleans at the Titans. We got Jacksonville, Indy.
That one has some stakes.
Marginally interesting. Tampa has to win out. They go to Miami. New England clinches the AFC East with a win against the Jets or the Dolphins. Seattle at Carolina.
That one, again, marginally interesting.
It matters also if Carolina loses. I think if Carolina loses, then it opens the door for the Bucs to win the division.
Right.
We have Giants and Raiders. That game should not be on television.
That's on. I know it's at an AFC team, but like that still feels weird to be CBS.
Yeah, but that's fine. That should just not be on anything.
Oh, that should just be. That's a
Red Zone should make a commitment to never showing that game.
That's a Tubi special.
We also have Philly at Buffalo.
Okay,
that is a good game.
That's a good game.
Sunday night. Bears at Niners, good game. Monday night, not really. Rams at Falcons. All right, so we got everybody. So we got fantasy football championship weekends. I guess this is the big question for everyone. Do you even play Lamar?
No.
Because with it being a back flare up,
I don't have him rostered in a ton of leagues.
Well, the problem that I have is my other option's Dart. And it's like, it's going to be better than last week, but at the same time, like the Giants have 0.0 energy right now.
I think I have the Giants defense playing this week.
Giants defense did score a touchdown last week.
And they're playing.
And they're playing the Raiders.
Without Bowers.
No Brock Bowers. And they still have Giants defensive line's not terrible against a horrific offensive line.
Yeah. And that is against our boy Connor for the title in the 92-9 league. For the title. Can't believe year one in the title game.
Yeah, man, this is one of those slates that
for a fantasy championship game like weekend, it's pretty brutal.
Well, and then obviously DK getting suspended probably impacted a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. It has to.
Like, if it's not a keeper league, like I imagine a lot of people just dropped him and tried to go find anyone.
Probably.
All right, so good luck to everybody out in their fantasy football championships. All right, let's take one more break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, George. For today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. Let's go to the Baltimore Sun's Mike Preston, who had a column entitled, "The Ravens and Lamar Jackson are at a crossroads." The breakdown of an NFL player's body is natural, but Jackson couldn't help himself. But Jackson could help himself. He doesn't need to be up late playing video games or falling asleep in team meetings. He needs to train more around the castle, that's their facility, instead of only attending mandatory minicamps where he disappears after one day. A major problem, a lot of it on the Ravens, is that there are team rules, and then there are rules for Jackson. And that's why Baltimore practices in the heat of the afternoon instead of in the morning. Once the Ravens become critical of Jackson, he becomes more withdrawn. It's a shame because Jackson isn't a mean-spirited person, just an overgrown kid and an adult's body. I will say this. I think the Ravens are definitely putting stuff out there about Lamar and frustration with Lamar.
Oh, yeah. That definitely is one that feels fed, if you will.
That feels like, here you go, sir.
Man, wouldn't this be great for clicks?
This will be good content. And again, I do think that I don't think Lamar's handled all this well. But
no, but
I do think the bigger issue is probably his back and his hamstring. But again,
who are we?
Who are we to judge? All right, Merry Christmas, my man.
Right back at you, brother.
We will be back on Monday with more Jeffrey Wright and Company. Want to thank Coach Hurd for being with us. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.